two things I did in the renovation that I've been waiting to do for a long time, and that was put a visible cross up in the baptismal and get a verse of scripture on the pulpit. I'm a coward sometimes. I have to hide behind things, and no two greater things to hide behind than that. Amen. I think it was the first place I saw it was on Dr. Seitler's pulpit. He would have a verse of scripture that said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." And I hope that's what we all see when we come to church. And so I did that and put it up on there. It took several tries to get a place to write it properly, but we finally got it up there. And then I've been waiting to get that cross up in the pulpit, so forgive me for not turning it on earlier. 1 Peter 5, how are we doing this morning? Amen. Everybody worship? If you were to go to be with the Lord right now, do you feel like it was sufficient enough? I never feel like it's sufficient enough. And I don't want to get to the other side of the street where I came up in some churches that it was like a whole production. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I just want it to be a balance when it's over with. Amen. And giving is a part of worship. Our tithes and offering are part of worship. Our attitude, our coming, our presence is all a part of worship. So I pray that we've done that this morning. 1 Peter 5. I'm still fishing, I guess you could say. I'm almost done with John, 3 John. Probably only have a couple more months left in that with 13 verses of scripture. We only touched on the first two. And then Corinthians, we'll do that tonight, and that's almost over. So I'm searching, I'm fishing, I'm chumming the waters for what's the next one, and I don't know what one it's going to be, but I was meditating this week on this chapter. Hope it'll be a blessing this morning. Let's read it now that we're all there. All right? Love to read the whole chapter. Sometimes I feel like I do a disservice to Scripture when we just dive in somewhere. Hopefully we'll get some context. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5, verse 1, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." That's a mouthful. There's a lot of mouthfuls in this chapter. "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." It's not our salvation that we lose when we don't continue to press on, or we turn, or we veer. It's our crowns. I think if we ever understood that concept, we would approach Christianity with a whole different aspect, I guess you could say. But that's a different message for a different day. Verse 5 says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder." Now watch this. There's several actions here. And I underlined them this morning when I was reading this again. See if you can find them. The first one is being submit. That's a hard thing for us to do nowadays. It says, "Likewise, ye younger," and it's a great responsibility to the one you're submitting to. I realize there's an aspect here. I'm to submit to you, but there's an aspect that I'm to submit. You're to submit back to me, and there's a great responsibility with that, just like that of a parent or a boss or anything, and Scripture covers all of those. But he said, "Likewise, ye younger," safest place you can be is submitting to authority, because they're ultimately responsible for where you end up if you submit properly. "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble." Well, that's convicting. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant,
Because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Wow. That's what he's doing. That's his sole mission. And he's been doing it since Fern 1. If you were here for missions conference. And he'll continue to do it until after Fern 4. We're to be sober, vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Don't ever get to the place. It's a sad place to be. I think it was Elisha, if I remember right, got to a place where he thought it was only him. And God had to remind him, hey, there's still 7,000 that ain't bowed their knee. Think we're getting to a place now we think we're the only ones doing right. We're the only ones living right. There's still people all over. There's still 7,000. Might not be that number, but what there was for Elijah, that ain't bowed their knee to Baal. There's still young people serving God. There's still older people serving God. There's still churches serving God. So I try and fellowship or at least connect with people that are to let me know that I'm not the only one. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you've suffered a while. Boy, there's a message there, isn't there? You mean I've got to suffer a while? It seems as though Peter was saying, after that you've suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Make it quick, Lord. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I don't think it needs to, I think it needs to be read because there's several things in here that are encouragement. He said, by Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I've written briefly. I appreciate it when they always mention people in Scripture. It makes me think of what was taking place, the relationship that they shared with each other. He says, I've written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein you stand. The church that is at Babylon. Oh boy, there's some context, isn't it? The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus, my son. Greet ye one another. Now, here's some conviction. For some that don't have a habit of doing it when they get to the church. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. That went over like a ton of bricks, I can see. Church is special because we obey what's supposed to be done when we're at church. Don't always be on the receiving end. Be on the giving end sometimes. Let's pray. Father, we'd ask you to help us today. We thank you for all that you do for us. Again, Lord, I appreciate the church. And the church isn't just a building, it's people. It's a body. It's hands, feet, eyes, ears, shoulders, hearts. And I thank you for it. It'll be the best place I'll be today, doing the most important thing I could possibly be doing under the shadow of the cross. So help us, Lord, to see, to not only see, but to seek what will be found in this text. And not only that, but to apply it, to hear it, to understand it, to utilize it, Lord. There's so much truth contained within just this chapter. It's the riches that we have in Scripture are overwhelming sometimes, but yet the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches sometimes cloud it and overshadow it. Some days, Lord, let's just be honest, we make the devil a bigger character than you. And so help us, I plead this morning, Lord. I don't know where everybody's at this morning. I know you do, and I understand that. And so help us. Lord, if there's somebody in here that doesn't know you as Savior, I pray that today be that day before it's eternally too late. Lord, if there's somebody in here that just feels like they have to carry everything themselves, I pray they see the truth of the passage that's before us and learn from the wisdom, I guess you could say, of Peter, the mistakes that he made and the journey that he took. Thank you that a person like Peter can share that with us through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So help us this morning, Lord, we pray. We lay everything at your feet this morning. Or at least I think we try to. Give me clarity of thought. Help me, I plead this morning, Lord. Hide me behind the cross. Forgive me where I failed you. Speak to us, Lord, please. In Christ's name we ask these things. Amen. I've had a verse of scripture on my mind for the last few weeks. I think it's important for you to do that. I think it's important for you to chew, I guess you could say. Here's an illustration you can think of. Cows chew their cud. Christians ought to as well meditate on scripture. Get a verse of scripture, get a passage of scripture, get a book and read it. Don't necessarily, for me, I have to guard myself. I have to say to myself, Michael, you're not here to find a message. You're not here to find an outline. Michael, you're here to get something for yourself. I have to remind myself of the illustration, if you will, of the airplane. When the stewardess gets on there, we'll use that term. Because as soon as I say stewardess, I think of some that I've had that were supposed to be stewards, not stewardesses. That's a different message for a different day, I guess you could say. And they get up there and they start reading the card to you and they tell you that the oxygen mask will fall and they tell you to make sure you put it on yourself before you start putting it on somebody else, because you can't help somebody else if you don't help yourself first. And so, anyways, I've been chewing on some verses here lately just to help myself. It's a verse of scripture I've become very familiar with through the years. As a newborn Christian, I remember the joy I had. And I don't even know if that word completely describes all the emotions I had when I found verses in scripture. Does anybody remember the first time you read through scripture, or the first time you found something that was, can we use the word nugget? And you read it and you went, wow, that's in the Bible? And it was something that was just so meaningful, so powerful that you just sat there and you went, wow. For me, and I've always said this, I've always felt like I've been catching up. Let me say this to the young people. Don't get to where I'm at and say, well, I need to catch up. Do it all now. Store it. Many of the messages probably you'll sit and listen to in church, you'll say, well, what, that ain't for me. That's for them other people. That's for the older folks. That's for people with kids. And that's for folks with spouses and all those things that one day I hope I have. And then you'll get there and you'll wish to goodness you would have packed a lunch with all the things that were said so you have them and say, man, I wish I would have paid attention back then. Amen? And so I remember when I first came across this verse and the joy that I had. For me, in the early years, and honestly, even until today, it is difficult sometimes to realize and to recognize that we have a present Savior. A present Savior. What I mean by that is, He is present as defined by that word. Let me give you a definition. The word present means being in a certain place, opposed to absent. Bible tells us that He will never leave us nor forsake us. Is anybody besides me sat there some days and said, man, God, where are you? Are you seeing this? Are you watching this take place? Where are you? And I sit there sometimes and it's a challenge. And I'm being honest with you this morning. I'm the preacher. And I sit there some days and I'm talking to Him and I'm going, God, where in the world are you at? He's present. Secondly, it means being before the face or near. being in company. The church I went to Bible college at, there was a lady, she's no longer alive, she's passed on. She would sing a song, and I can't remember exactly what the name of the song was, but it was one of the lyrics or the choruses in it was standing somewhere in the shadows. I have to remind myself sometimes of that, not just from Scripture. I have to remind myself sometimes from the songs we sing, that there's a relevancy to it. We're not just singing songs to sing songs at church. They have meaning. They have emphasis. There's supposed to be spirituality in them. There's supposed to be doctrine in them, that it reiterates who we are and what we need in church. He's always in the shadows. I look for him. Is anybody else? I know I'm not going to see him, but I'll see a demonstration of him. The word present also means being now in view or under consideration. In the present instance. Again, I go back to what I said. You ever just something takes place and you're looking? Boy, I'm glad I'm not God. I'd be there too quick. I really would. I sense it. I feel it in my children's life and in my grandchildren's life. And I have to say to myself sometimes, I have to remind Libby sometimes, they have parents. They have a Savior. They have somebody that cares about them far greater than I'll ever care about them. That was to Mom and Dad and to Grandma and Grandpa. I'm trying to make sure I get everybody this morning. Fourth definition by Noah Webster. I like Noah Webster. He goes into detail, don't he? I didn't write it all down. There's verses of scriptures for every one of these too now. And just where are the Noah Websters of dictionaries anymore? Now we've got these college, universities, whatever you want to call them, places of higher learning. I say places of stench. Number four, now existing or being at this time, not past or future, right now. He's there right now. You ever come into church and just feel like he ain't there? You ever sit in a service and you say, man, where is he? Sometimes I come in church and I can't, can I be honest this morning, Brother John? I can't feel him for me, but I'll look around at somebody else and I say, man, he's present with them right now. He's intimately, Brother Mike, involved in their life right now. I see it, man. You can see the joy. You can see the, you know, it's like these kids in the nurseries. You know, all the other ones in this church can hold these kids. I mean, Samuel will allow me to hold him every once in a while. When I'll do this and he'll look around and he'll go, yeah. Am I the only one he does that to? Huh? He does it to a lot of people. But man, I'm going to tell you what, if mom's present or dad's present. And so sometimes I come to church, I'll be honest with you, and I just... He's not, Brother Colossi, just, it doesn't seem like he's present to me. But I'll just watch him and somebody else and I go, wow. Number five, ready at hand, quick in emergency, as present wit. Well, that's him. That's him. I watch parents sometimes. I learned a lot about the Lord having children. God taught me so much because I'd be doing something and he'd go. Now, he can't do to you unless you read the scriptures because the knock is to remind you of something he's already said. So if you don't, well, I raise kids and I never learned much from it. Well, you had to, there's the manual. You had to read the manual. And then he reminds you of it in the manual. Ready at hand, quick in emergency, as present wit. I could preach on the definition of present this morning, it seems like. Here's another one. Favorably attentive. Not heedless. Propitious. I put both of those things. There's a video I've seen. I don't know how many times it is. I can't remember if it's Facebook or wherever I found it. There's this one reel about dads.
Anybody ever seen that or video about dads and they're in the vicinity of their children and one falls and they grab them by the head just before they hit concrete, or they're on the trampoline and they just go through this whole thing. And I think to myself, boy, that's God for me. And if you're not careful, watch this. If you're not present here, I say this often, God demonstrates himself to us on a daily basis. We just don't always look for his demonstration. We see the hand of others many more times than we see the hand of God. I was riding the lawnmower yesterday trying to get a peace of mind. And I don't know, my phone keeps going to do not disturb or something. I don't know if it's a setting I've got it on. And I was just trying to meditate, trying to do my thing. And after I was over, I had my Pandora on, my lifesaver, and muffs on over top of that. And I stopped and I realized I was getting all those notifications from riding the lawnmower with my cameras on. And I spent the last night deleting 400 videos of me. But in the midst of those, there was a text message from, and I don't mind sharing it, it was from Brother Dorsey. And he's a man of few words if you've ever been around him. But what he said, and I sat there and I read it and I went, man, I just started crying. And I said to myself, I just replied back to him, I said, timely preacher, timely. Now, was that him that sent that to me? Or was it God? Think about that now when you're wanting to share something with somebody. We're supposed to be sensitive to the Spirit, aren't we? Lastly, it means not absent of mind, not abstracted, attentive. He pays attention to us. Brother Baldwin shared this morning, and I read a small little, I guess you could say, blurb, devotion, quote, I don't know what it was, about that verse of Scripture that he numbers the hairs of our head and what that means, and that a sparrow and its worth. And if he cares for a sparrow, how much more does he care for us? That is convicting when you start breaking that down, that God does that. When you can, I love to be out in nature most of the time, and you start seeing things and birds, and I got a bird, man, I'm trying my best. I've probably tore down 40 nests for that stupid robin at my barbecue shack, but I keep doing it, and now I'm starting to feel guilty that I'm tearing his poor nest down because God cares about him. And I had to tell God, we'll care about him somewhere else. Not absent of mind, not abstracted, attentive. If you and I are not careful, and as well fully knowledgeable and understanding of the characteristics of God, realizing them, that is, from studying Scripture, not from what somebody says those characteristics are, then you and I will soon be overwhelmed by the cares of this world. We are living in a day that the cares of this world are absolutely overwhelming, especially for the younger generation. Why you say that? Are they more susceptible to it? No, they don't have the journey we have. They don't have the experience that we have. That's why the hoary head is needed in the church, because you can go up beside the younger one and say, hey, I've been there, done that, got the t-shirt for it. God is faithful. He's present. The older I get, I'm missing that sometimes. Especially as a pastor, sometimes people don't say those things to you because you're the pastor. You don't think you need to hear them. And there are more cares in this world than I think we realize sometimes. Peter knew this, and who better to explain and express this to us than him? I'd love to spend time dissecting everything in this chapter. We may see it in the days to come, but for now I don't want to spend time dissecting everything in the chapter. But I just really want to focus on one verse. I'm sure I've focused on it before in the years I've been here. I want to look at it again. Sometimes things need to be repeated, don't they? I remember when I had come to my sending church, the one I came from here, Antioch Baptist Church in Harlem, Georgia. Shortly after coming there, I taught in the Bible college. Our pastor was teaching on 1 and 2 Peter,
And he made a statement one night in chapel. Anyone that was a preacher in the church had to memorize 1 Peter 5 before they could preach in his pulpit. I thought, boy, you're setting up things that God never wrote in Scripture. What are you doing? I was the next one he asked. He at least gave me a little bit of a notice rather than calling me out of the choir. And before I preached, I quoted it. I still remember the day he said it, the next time I was at the prison and I was preaching. I preached in the prisons in Augusta in the afternoon, and I was sitting in there memorizing. I memorized Scripture by taking the first word of every verse and going from there. That's how I memorize it. I memorize the first word of each verse, and then I go back and try and remember each word in each verse. And so on. That's my way of doing it. It might not sound right, but it's helped me through the years. I still remember sitting in the parking lot of 4th Street Jail in Augusta, Georgia. And then I got up the next time. Man, I was proud as a peacock, man. He called me up, and I was saying to myself, he don't know I memorized that verse of Scripture. He's probably forgotten it. And I was glad that I did. I stood up and I reminded him. I said, you told me I had to memorize something. He was teaching me something, is what I'm trying to say. He was teaching me that I was going to need to know the truths that were found and contained within that passage of Scripture. I didn't realize that till later on in life. Care becomes a large aspect of ministry, and that was his way of teaching me it. Obviously, again, without doing any expose, I guess you could say, on the whole chapter, you've probably figured out the verse I want to focus upon this morning. Again, it was a joy when I first came across this verse. Let's read it real quick so you know which one I'm referring to. The Bible says right there in the midst of all those other things, all those other truths, he says in verse 7, and Peter, the elder, is talking to elders. He's talking to church people. He's talking to people that know the Christ of the cross and understand the difficulties and the afflictions of that day in serving God. He said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Care becomes a large aspect of ministry. And that was his way, my pastor, of teaching me that. Obviously, again, without doing an expose, I just want to look at this verse this morning. It was a joy when I first came across this verse of Scripture. I still remember this, right outside of Williston, South Carolina, on the road coming into the bomb plant. I said to Rodney one day, man, I was going through it. And I said to him, we used to pull up beside each other in our patrol cars. And you'll see them sometimes. They'll pull beside, one's heading one way and the other one's heading the other way, and they're just talking to each other so they can run radar in both directions. And then, all right, I'm going to go get this guy. No, we were just talking, and he said, you doing okay? And I said, you know that we do, right, at church? Hey, how you doing today? Man, I'm doing great. And inside, you're really lying. Has anybody else besides me ever done that? And you come to church, you lie right through your teeth, man. How you doing? Man, I'm doing great. Finer than frog hair, split two ways, man. I'm telling you what, it couldn't be any better. I'm telling you what. And he said that, and I said, what's going on? I said, man, Rodney, I said, there's just sometimes I just wish God would just be so present that he'd just hug me and tell me it'll be okay. And he got out of his car, and he walked over and says, Mike, let me tell you something. And he said, come here. And I got out of my car and he hugged me. Said, it's going to be okay. And it began the journey of helping me to realize the importance of Christian fellowship. And we are the hands, the eyes, the child of God has some very encouraging things at his disposal. If you happen to be carrying any cares this morning, I would like to call it a benefit, if you will, or a perk that accompanies salvation. And that is, I have someone that I can take my burdens and cares to. He's present. The lost world doesn't have the benefit of that, only the child of God. Jesus Let me say that again. The lost world doesn't have that benefit, only the child of God. So don't be too hard on them when they act a certain way. It's like a child that acts like a child. Most of the time they act like a child is because they are one. They're a sinner, but they don't have an ever-present parent to guide them on what it looks like and is to be an adult. We have that. Don't be too hard on the world is what I'm trying to say. Jesus told those that he was ministering to one day in Matthew 11. I think this was very important in the day. They were keeping the law. They thought getting close to God was keeping all the rules and regulations. Jesus came to them and said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Be careful when folks come to our church and they're not where you're at. When they look around, you know what they see? Rules. When they hear messages, they think that's something I'm supposed to do. It is, but it's a whole lot easier to do it with somebody that has a yoke that you're yoked up with. He helps you. He allows you. Sometimes all somebody sees is that's going to be hard. I remember when I said to Rodney, I said, I'd love to go to church, but there's a lot of things I got to get straight in my life. I got to stop this mouth. This mouth is just out of control. Who knows if I go to church one day and I'd be just standing around talking to somebody and it'd come out. And he chuckled at me and he said, well, you'll go to church, you'll be surprised how much it'll help you. Now, it wasn't just going to church. He was trying to teach me the concept of Christian living. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Anyways, he wanted them to know, Christ that is, that he would carry their burden if they would bring it to him. Again, let me ask you this. Do you happen to have any cares that you are carrying this morning? I'd ask for a show of hands, but some would lie. The word care is defined, we got to go back to Noah Webster, don't we? The word care is defined in Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary. First is a noun. It means a concern, anxiety, apprehension. Secondly, it means a caution, a looking to, a regard, an attention, or heed with a view to safety or protection, as in the phrase, take care of yourself. Third, it is a charge or oversight implying concern for safety and prosperity as he was under the care of a physician. Paul, I wanted to put this verse down there, and I'm not asking for sympathy, but many times when church service starts, that's when everybody's here. I like to pray before services start most of the time. I've defaulted to Jacob to do the choir thing as a way to get people to the table. Then we pray. And after we pray, then the service starts. And I have a tendency, you may not understand this, I have a tendency to look around and say, Laura's not here. Is she in the nursery? Judy's not here. Is she traveling? Is she on vacation? She's here today. I'm just saying in general. And I start looking around, and then when I don't see somebody, I don't see the Judkins today. So I assume they're still recovering from James's situation that took place. And you say, wow. That's what Paul said when he wrote this verse of Scripture. That which cometh upon me daily. There was things in Paul's life that came upon him daily. And then he said, the care of all the churches. It wasn't just what came upon him and in his circle, but it was the care of the churches. He didn't have Facebook to check in. He didn't have YouTube to follow and say, hey, listen, I'm not in Corinth today. Wonder how their services went. Let me just pull it up on YouTube. I remember when I took the month off in January and I'd go to community sometimes. Their services were at 5. Brother Grimaldi's were at 1. And I'd sit there and I'd be coming back. And it was usually an hour at community. And 6 was starting it up here. And I'd turn my little phone. Libby and I'd be driving down the road and we'd be watching the services. Paul wasn't able to do that. He had the care of all the churches that he had started. What was I trying to say? What I was trying to say sometimes is you may carry a lot of burdens. The pastor, a pastor, carries. I could see in Brother O'Malley's eyes some days, he wasn't always present.
You know why? Because he was thinking about the next place he was going to. Then when he got there and he had some time to settle down, then he texts me back. Be careful. Here's the warning. Be careful when you see the pastor for the first time and you want to put something on him as he's walking to the pulpit. I was texting somebody this morning and the person replied to me and said, I didn't reach out to you yet because I knew you were going to go to the pulpit and preach. I thought, wow, that's considerate. Some people will grab you, and I do this sometimes. Can I just give you a tip? When I'm talking, if I come up to you and I'm shaking your hand, and you go, oh, let me tell you something real quick, and I go, do you know what I'm doing? That's an audible in football. The audible is, I don't have that time. I'm trying to get around to talk to everybody. We're all supposed to be coming and talking to the same Savior. I'm bringing just as much and more. Can I say that? Is that okay for me to say it? I'm bringing as much and more than you may be. Realize sometimes your world might be smaller than somebody else's. The word care as well means the object of care or watchful regard and attention, as is she thy care. As a verb, it means to be anxious or solicitous, to be concerned about. Remember the disciples in Mark, they were in the boat. They said to Jesus, okay, let's put this to the test, Jesus. Master, carest thou not that we perish? And again, this is what's so insulting as a believer. He wakes up, wipes the... I mean, does Jesus even have... What is that? Huh? What do they call that stuff? Fudge? Fudge in your eye? But I can see him just faking it for their edification. Peace be still. And then they're just sitting there. They're all tore up about it. I mean, tore up about it. And rightly so. But watch this. What they thought was so enormous, he wakes up, yawns, and it's over with in a period of time. And is there anybody else besides me that's going? I mean, I quote that verse of Scripture sometimes. I've said it to the Lord sometimes. Master, carest thou not that I perish? And could you be quick about it? Maybe I'm just more, maybe I need to sit down and somebody that's got this figured out preach it. Listen, as I've already said, we have them. Cares, that is, and they come in all different packages. Here are just a few that I wrote down. See if I could, who isn't with me so far may get with me. Maybe once I touch on yours, it'll help you to, sir, we would see Jesus. Sometimes cares can come in your faith. There's a whole generation now that is deconstructing their faith. They're questioning the fact whether they really had it or not. What was that verse of Scripture? Thy faith faileth thee? I'm trying to think of the context of that. Sometimes the care would just be your faith. Boy, my faith just doesn't seem like it's where it needs to be. Secondly, your family can be a care. Anybody here some days just think about a lost family member, a child astray? Somebody out there somewhere you don't... I don't know if mine fully grasp it sometimes, although they're grown and out of the home. There's never a moment... Can I just say this? There's never a moment they go without thought in my mind. Are they okay? Is everything all right with them? Do they have sufficient money? Is there troubles that could be helped? I mean, when they're little, don't we? We care for every little thing about them, don't we? Every little care. I mean, we're wiping both ends, man. Aren't we? We just, and then they, I think they think sometimes because then you ask. And then you have to be strategic. Any parents with me on this one? Then you have to be strategic when you ask. Everything okay? I'm fine, Dad. I'm grown now. I got this under control. Does it mean I can't care? Take that same, this is for the young people. Notice I keep identifying which one's for who. This is for the young people that have parents that care. It's not that they don't think you can. Ask God if you'd like to talk to him that way when he's checking in on you.
Amen. That went over good. Your faith is a care. Your family can be a care. How about finances?
Man, I'll tell you. And you know the best way to handle the finances and God's care for them? Give to what God's concerned about. When you let God control your finances, it takes a whole lot. If there's one area, and boy, I shouldn't say this probably, if there's one area that I don't have much thought over, it's that. Because I learned early on the principle, give. And when you give to God, he's going to make sure he takes care of you. One thing, no matter how many people, and I appreciate the finance people we have now, but in the early days of this church, if there was ever a time I could have in the throat, it would have been those days. Because if I heard once, I heard 1,000 times, well, we got to be careful about this and we got to be careful about, I understand that. I appreciate the voice. But I'm going to tell you what, God is much more concerned with us knowing that he's taking care of it. And this pastor is not a flagrant spender. And watch what he's done here, because we've trusted. If so-and-so leaves, I'm going to tell you what, if so-and-so leaves, we're going to be in the hurt locker. If so-and-so leaves, I hope they do leave, because it seems like they were only here to show us how much they could give. Be surprised that God can take a little lunch. He can take a little lunch and tap it, touch it, bless it. And amazing what he can do with it. Friends can be a care. Fears. Have any fears this morning? Fights. We're getting a fight. That's what consumes you. How about this one? Future. I've said it before, and I don't mean to play it down. I am concerned about the future. I'm concerned about the next president. What is taking place today in our society is an absolute abomination unto God. That's what's taking place in the eyes of people, and nobody's going to stop it, and I don't like either one of them. But the mere fact that it's happening and we're allowing it to happen is terrible, because what does the future look like? Don't we have enough history and enough other countries to see where this goes? And who's the one that's going to stop it? That's where I have to kick in and say, I can't consume myself with it, because I know a man that is in absolute complete control of it, and I have to trust him for it. But I am concerned about the future for my children and my grandchildren. And then this one probably haunts me more than anything, your failures. The devil has a way of always reminding you of your failures, don't it? And then you care about them. So as I looked at this passage of Scripture, I was reminded of four truths. Let me give them to you real quick. I was heavy on the introduction. Seems like I heard that somewhere else. I want to look at four truths concerning all of our cares that we have that I want to share with you this morning. You'll need a title, preaching on this thought. When you think he doesn't, he really does. I have to remind myself of that. In recent years, I've said to myself often, God, it's just, are you even watching this stuff? Are you even paying attention to this stuff? And the devil will get so loud that he'll say, no, he isn't. When you think he doesn't, he really does. First, Peter gives us four truths concerning the fact that he really does care. Some of them apply to us, that we have a part in this. First, we see the action stated concerning our cares. He said, casting. The person that is writing this letter is Peter, and what better person to speak here than Peter? And what better word to use here than this one that Peter uses, being a fisherman under the inspiration. God will call you from where you're at and use what you have to be able to help somebody else. And here Peter helps somebody else, and he uses an illustration, and the illustration is a fisherman's illustration. And he says, casting. It is an action stated concerning our cares. The word casting here means to throw upon, much like a fisherman would throw his net upon the water. Its intention is twofold.
Look at these real quick. First, if you ever watch it, and I've tried to do this before. Chris was our next door neighbor when I lived in South Carolina, and he would go shrimping. Not the Bubba shrimping. He went cast net shrimping. And you'd chum the water and put the little food in Georgia clay and make a nice little ball and drop it. And you'd have a PVC stick in the ground. And you'd put the PVC stick in the ground. You'd chum the water with the ball with the food in it. Drop a couple balls there. And then you'd go set another one. And then you'd come back and you'd take that casting net. I still ain't never figured out how to do those things, man. They got one piece in their tooth. They got three things in their hands. And, man, then they're sitting on the... You know, they're like right on the end of the... Chris would get out on the end of the boat like this. And, man, if I tried to do that, I'd be ending up with the net on top of me head first in the water. And he'd throw that thing out, man. It'd be just as pretty as can be. You ever seen that? That's what Peter's referencing. It's an action. What's the action? It's a throwing out. And it's a turning loose. Do you do that, Michael? Well, Lord, if you watch those guys do that, there's that one little line that's attached to the net. You ever come up and you say, song sung, something touches your heart. You're sitting in the pew, Todd, and you're just, man, God spoke to your heart, and you're in a place that you can go to the altar without being looked upon, and you're sitting there and you're saying, man, is anybody going to see me? And you say, well, I don't care. And you get up. You start making your way to the altar. You say, Lord, preacher said I just got to throw it out there. And you come down and you whisper a little bit. Man, can I just say this, how precious it is to watch these little girls. I was sharing that with somebody the other day, squirrel. I'm going to get back. Just remind me. Throwing out, okay? I was sharing with somebody the other day. They might not be calling down fire. You know, Honora's not there. Lord God of Elijah, I pray. You know, that might not be what's taking place. But just watching the beginning of what could be. Some young lady here, the foundation of her prayer life right here at a church that makes it available. That Honora, maybe if the Lord tarries, years down the road, has a wayward child. She said, I learned something many years ago in an altar that if I cast my care upon the Lord, He cared for me. And I'm caring about my family right now and my lost loved one. Well, here's the problem with that. We come and we say, oh, I'm going to do that. But the second part of it, it's not just a throwing out, it's a turning loose. And here's where we all fail. That one line that you pull it back in with. See, this one was just letting it go. You have to throw it out and you have to turn it loose. How, is there anybody else besides me that you get up there and you take it with you? Come on. You might say, I'm going to leave it there. But you took one of them little, what are those little clippies? Carabiner. It's a carabiner on the boat. I don't know if Chris did this, but in case you don't lose that expensive net out on the ocean, you know, he put a little carabiner to the rope that, and then he throws it out there like, yeah. I heard the preacher say, you just throw it out there and you turn it loose. You get up from the, wouldn't we love a visual on this morning? You throw it out, man, preacher said, I just casting. All my care, I'm going to tell you what, I'm trusting preacher's message this morning. I'm going to cast it out there. I'm going to throw it out, turn it loose. And then we watch you with that big giant net carabiner to your belt loop while you and I go back to our pew. Isn't that what most of us do? Honestly? I wonder sometimes with God how He treats me. Michael, I thought you gave that to me. You're bringing it up again. Has kids ever asked you for something? Any parents in here, kids have ever asked you for something and you did like me? Yeah, I know. You already asked me. And they look at you and go, well, yeah, I know you asked me. Are we getting the illustration? It's not, you have, the action of our cares is we have to throw it out there and turn it loose.
I wish I could say yesterday I was throwing some things out there and turning them loose. But the sad part about it, it's carabiner to my belt loop, waiting for God to respond. The only time that a fisherman could turn his burden of lugging the net into a blessing by catching many fish was throwing it out and turning it loose. It bids the question, what's your action this morning concerning singular care or plural cares? Anybody besides me, show me by way of heart, not hands. You have any cares this morning that are consuming you? Number two, we see not only the truth, the action stated concerning our cares, we see the amount surrendered concerning our cares. All. Peter doesn't leave much for the reader to debate about. Peter tells the reader that the amount to cast out is all. You ever, like me, I don't know if there's any, I guess, Brother Glass, I'll loop you into this message, John, probably a couple others, I don't know as intimately. I'm sure Miss Sherry, Mike and I have characteristics similar to each other that we say, who said, oh, you said amen? Or who said it amen verbally? She did. Woo, man. I don't know if that's a good amen or a bad amen, Brother Mike. I don't know if that's a compliment or a criticism. And now, God, here's the ones I can't do. You're going to have to do them. But these over here, I got these. You don't have to worry about them. That's just the nature of a man sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Women have, you have a characteristic about you, ladies. Don't ever let the world change it. You have a characteristic about you that is more, and you say, well, I don't have that characteristic. Well, shame on the parents that raised you. I don't know if my boys ever got mad about this, but Christina had certain characteristics that she got just by being a girl in our home. That somebody else was supposed to shoulder that. Men just feel and are taught sometimes that they have to, well, I got to take care of this because this is something God wants me to take care of. Is that right? Well, then Peter was wrong when he said all. Peter was wrong when he said by inspiration of the Spirit of God, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. We see the amount surrendered concerning our cares. Some of us, I believe, I'd illustrate this, but I'm already getting close to when some of y'all get uncomfortable with time, and you throw it out there and you're still holding on to it. And God says, I'd like that too. And you're holding back. Is anybody besides me like that? I'd like to take it. Michael, I'd like to take that from you. But you hold on to it like a pacifier. Michael, that care has become your identity. And you're not letting go of it because it's like a badge of honor sometimes. I got this. I'm going to take care of this. Man, I got it. The action concerning our cares. The amount surrendered concerning our cares. Let me ask you this. Are you holding on to things in your life for sympathy? Or will you decide today to surrender your cares, all your cares to him? Are there things that you're holding on to and you won't let loose? And when you do let them loose, you throw them onto someone else instead of him. I have to ask myself sometimes, it's the nature of a pastor when somebody has a situation, God, am I supposed to do, am I part of the bearing the burden in this? Or I mentioned to somebody recently when they aided somebody. Wasn't somebody here at the church, but they were. And I said, word of caution. Be careful when you help somebody. You could prevent God trying to help them. Because as long as they'll receive your help, they're not getting his help. And sometimes, could you imagine if the prodigal son story was being rewritten today? If he had Facebook, Twitter, X, whatever they are, all the social media avenues. What do you think? I feel like the guy was a loving guy. I think he was a very caring, compassionate, concerned father. But I'm going to tell you what, there's just sometimes when you see, who wouldn't when their son's in the hog pen? Who wouldn't when their son's fallen to pieces? Who wouldn't when fain he would perish if not for wallowing in that mess? Who wouldn't sit there and come and challenge him and say, when are you going to get up out of this? But he didn't. I think it's a natural tendency, and I shared, be careful. Because you're prolonging God being able to get him to. See, when he came to himself, it wasn't because the Father said he PayPal'd him or he Apple Paid him. Number three, the action stated concerning our cares, the amount surrendered concerning our cares. Here's another one. Upon him, the area suggested concerning our cares. Many times as Christians, we can, if we're not careful, we learn a very bad habit. That habit is whenever something takes place in your life, we run to someone and tell them about it. Listen, I realize that there's a time and a place to bear you one another's burden. However, first and foremost, it should be taken to the Lord. I'm here for everyone, and I want to be there for everyone here. But some things I just can't help you with, and rightly so. God gives us this command. He doesn't give you that command, and I'm always the recipient. And God give us the comfort that he will carry them, not me. Listen, a lot of times people will sit around waiting for someone to help them. Quit sitting around here and holding on to everything like some badge of honor, trying to become some martyr for Christ, and if not, tossing it on somebody else. There is nobody that has a greater understanding and desire to help than God Almighty. Somebody might prolong, somebody might help, and God forbid that somebody might inspire somebody to. And great when it is, but don't relish it and don't glory in it and don't say, well, I tell you what, I did it for him. No, we're just an instrument and a tool. God is the one that really needs to help us. I've found one thing to be absolutely true since I've been in a ministry. Those that walk close with the Lord and apply this principle are those you have to tend to very little. Let me say that again. I found one thing to be absolutely true since I've been in a ministry. Those that walk close with the Lord and apply this principle. What's the principle? Casting all their care upon him, for he careth for them. They are the ones you have to tend to very little. If I'm not careful, I can forget some of the most faithful people and the people that are the most walking in the Spirit, if you will, because they're tending to themselves so much that you forget to tend to them. Why? Because you're tending to so many others. Does anybody have children like that? Philippians 4, verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. This has probably been one of my hardest verses as a believer. Because my first glitch, my first response for me is not always prayer. My first response is to fix it. I'm talking about in my own personal life. I'm not talking about anybody else. It's like I've got to bite down on my mouthpiece and I got to do this and do that. And I twist verses of scripture around in my head. And you're trying to, well, this is what I, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And you can twist and turn the scriptures as much. But the Bible says, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Like this yesterday, I was riding that lawnmower. Lord, I thank you. Lord, thank you. Is anybody besides me like that? Be honest, does anybody? Lord, thank you for this. I just want to lift my hand to praise and say thank you. You laugh at me, but you do it too. You just don't have a pulpit to admit it. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God. I think sometimes God's got such a humor, Caleb, that he sits there and says, okay, if you don't want to be scriptural with me, I'm going to let you sustain it on your own. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When it comes to trials and tribulations, who's the first person you take your cares to? Lastly, this. We see that
When you think he doesn't, he really does. We see the action stated concerning our cares, where to cast them. We see the amount surrendered concerning our cares, all. We see, number three, the area suggested were to cast them upon him. His shoulders are big enough to handle it. Isn't that amazing when you think about it? That he's able to sustain it. And ours are in no comparison to people in countries that have no Bible, have no God, have no church. I mean, I can't imagine what their prayer. And you'd think God be more paying attention. We as Christians in America have become very pacified in our Christianity. But the fact that he's listening and he cares. Lastly, this, the Bible says, for he careth for you. We see the answer supplied concerning our cares. What's the answer that he supplies? He careth for you. In a day when we don't think people care much, you know why our young people are falling to pieces? Because there's never been a reiteration that their family cares and that there's one above and beyond their family that cares. And children have lost hope today. It's sad. I'm glad we have a ministry, Hannah's Hope. I still suffer from the lack of that. And then to add insult to injuries, for my parents to die, with me still feeling that way. And therefore, this verse means so much more to me than it could. Young people that have good parents, could you do me a favor once in a while and God, thank them? I mean, really just thank them that they're there. Thank you that when your life seems to be spinning out of control at your juncture in life, that you could knock on your parents' door. You could, that there is a family table you could sit down to and your parents say to you, hey, how's today? And you can look at them and say, it wasn't that good. I mean, it's difficult to grasp how the average young person, their sole source of input and advice and care comes from a screen instead of somebody personal. That's why when I read the epistles of John and I read some of these other ones where the writer says, in my own vernacular, I can't wait till we see face to face. When this letter that Peter writes finishes off, he says, greet ye one another. That is face to face. Face to greet ye. It's not Ernest Angley touch the television screen with his toupee kicked over to the side. It's actual present. Watch this. Another with a kiss of charity. I don't know if we realize that sometimes. I don't know if the people that stand by the door sometimes, when somebody's coming in, you can make or break their service. The answer supplied concerning our cares, he cares. Psalm 142, verse 1. Listen to what the psalmist says. I'm done. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I shewed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Psalm 55 and verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Those are powerful verses. I don't know what your situation is this morning. I know what mine is. And I know it's a joy. I'm thankful that Peter wrote it. I'm thankful that Peter went through it. I'm thankful that Peter shared it. Because some days, Brother John, you just need a drink of water from another land. And Peter gives that to us.
I don't know if you're like me. I don't know what you got on your plate today. I know what I got on mine. And I'm thankful for the promise that God will be there and He cares for me. If you're in here and you don't know Jesus, you don't have that. You have troubles that come and troubles will take you away. I question sometimes people that say they have them, and this is what we see. I say sometimes to myself, if somebody's watching me, am I giving the impression that I have an ever-present Savior that cares for me? I'll close with this. We sing it often. It answers the question this morning that needs to be asked. Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth or song? As the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long? Does Jesus care when my way is dark with a nameless dread and fear? As the daylight fades into deep night shades, does He care enough to be near? Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong? When for my deep grief there is no relief, though my tears flow all the night long? Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me, and my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks? Is it aught to Him? Does He see? The songwriter said, oh yes, He cares. I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. I think sometimes just knowing that, believing that by faith makes all the difference. I don't know where you're at this morning. I know the cares I have. This morning I'm going to do the very best I can. And I mean this from the bottom of my heart. What is it called? Carabine. I'm going to let loose the carabine. Throw it out. Let Jesus have it. Because He's better equipped to carry it than I am. If that's you this morning, someone's coming to the piano, let's all stand to our feet. Let's throw it out. Let's realize. Let's let it go. Let's ask God to help. I'm not the only one this morning that's carrying something that God could carry much better than me.